It's time for our weekly visit with PolitiFact Virginia. The fact checkers at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. We're joined again this morning by Sean Gorman. Hello, Sean.
Good morning, Wayne.
We have three recent items to ask you about, items that have appeared in the PolitiFact Virginia column. Senate candidate Tim Kaine made a claim about his Republican opponent, George Allen, saying the tax burden on Virginia families was lower under Kaine when he was governor than under Allen when he was governor. You checked the facts on that. What did you find out?
Well, the Kaine campaign cites figures from the Pro-Business Tax Foundation, which estimates how much each person in a state owes in taxes. Now, it's a calculation that includes taxes owed to state and local governments, as well as to others in hotel, gas, and other levies. For someone living in Northern Virginia who works in Washington, the group's figures would include sales, restaurant, and other levies that commuter pays while in D.C. Now, according to the Tax Foundation, Virginians paid state and local taxes averaging 6.9% of their income while Allen was governor from 1994 to 1998. And under Kaine's administration from 2006 to 2010, the average was 6.7%. Now, figures from Congressional Quarterly showed that during Allen's governorship, yearly state tax revenues averaged 5.6% of all income earned by Virginians, while the average was 5.3% under Kaine. Now, while the tax burden was stable during Allen's tenure, it fell during Kaine's term. Now, the reason for that, economists told us, was the fact that a national recession hit halfway into Kaine's governorship, causing tax collections to shrink faster than income. Now, the raw numbers back Kaine, but they paint a superficial figure, since Kaine did not offer large-scale tax cuts during his term. To the contrary, he unsuccessfully sought $4 billion in tax increases, and the reason for the falling tax burden was the economic slowdown, so we rated this claim mostly false.
All right. Now, Allen made this claim in his recent debate with Democrat Kaine. Allen said, quote, repealing and replacing Obamacare, that's going to save $1 trillion over a 10-year period. True or false?
Well, the Allen campaign pointed to three studies to back this claim. Now, one was a report by House Republican leaders saying that the Health Care Act would add $701 billion to the debt over 10 years, and two other reports by conservative analysts said the law would add somewhere between $340 to $500 billion to the debt over 10 years. Now, none of those three reports comes close to the $1 trillion figure that Allen cites, and Allen also pointed to a July report from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, which estimated that costs of implementing the health care reform law would easily exceed $1 trillion over 11 years. But Allen ignores a crucial fact. The CBO said the reforms would more than pay for themselves through health care efficiencies, taxes, and fees. And the CBO also said in a July 24th letter to House Speaker John Boehner that the repeal of Obamacare would increase deficits by about just over $100 billion over a decade. Now, the CBO did leave itself some wiggle room, saying it is difficult to predict how the health care reform law will affect the budget. Now, the three studies that Allen cites, all from conservative analysts, don't put the debt reduction anywhere near $1 trillion, so Allen's claim is false.
All right. Now, the Democratic candidate for Congress in the 7th District recently had a debate with the Republican incumbent, Eric Cantor, in which Wayne Powell made this claim about Cantor. He said, quote, he took $5 million from Sheldon Adelson, Adelson being a Las Vegas casino owner and a big-time political contributor. You checked out the facts on that. What did you find out?
Well, Powell's campaign pointed to a July 15th article in Politico about Adelson and his wife giving a combined $5 million to the YG Action Fund. Now, that's a super PAC that Politico said is backed by Cantor. And that fund is led by two former Cantor aides. John Murray, the super PAC's president, is Cantor's former deputy chief of staff, while Brad Dayspring, also a former deputy chief of staff to Cantor, is an advisor to the YG Action Fund, according to the Center for Public Integrity. Now, YG gets its name from the Young Guns label given to Cantor, Vice Presidential candidate Paul Ryan, and California Congressman Kevin McCarthy, and those three co-authored a book entitled Young Guns, A New Generation of Conservative Leaders. Now, super PACs can raise and spend unlimited amounts of money towards the election or defeat of a candidate, but they're not allowed to coordinate with candidates or give money directly to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Powell would have been correct if he said a super PAC closely aligned with Cantor received $5 million from the Adelsons, but the Democrat exaggerated when he said Cantor took the money, so we rated this claim mostly false.
All right. Sean Gorman of PolitiFact Virginia. Thanks, Sean. We'll talk to you again next time.
Hey, talk to you next week.
Right.